The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect way to set any holiday vibe at the push of a button. With over 30 cocktails, ciders, brews, and more, just put in the pod and press start. Now through November 9th, use code THANKS at DrinkWorks.com to save 25% off your order. That's 25% off your order with code THANKS. Better than the Black Friday offer. Stay holiday ready with the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Visit DrinkWorks.com today. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. Please enjoy responsibly. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
This weekend, visit JCPenney for TGI Black Friday. Get the same Black Friday prices, just earlier, on thousands of new deals before they're gone. Score the absolute best savings with this week's extra 30% off coupon. Use it to get select men's St. John's Bay sweaters for 60% off. Or shop now to reserve your fine jewelry to get Black Friday prices up to 80% off before the rush. Joy, comfort, peace. JCPenney. Offers valid 11/13 to 11/15. Conditions and exclusions apply. Pick up reserve fine jewelry on or after 11/20. See store or jcp.com for details.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great rates, we gave this song surprisingly great lyrics.
Here we go. It's so cheap. Yeah, got a great rate on the down low. Cause Jake isn't your average Joe. Hard to believe. Yeah, nobody does it like State Farm do. Never knew the rates were this low. Oh, they ain't that steep.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I have his secrets, but you have to promise not to tell anyone.
Then don't tell me.
Me either.
This Monday,
Bob is going to ask me to marry him.
It's the CBS original comedy series, Bob Hart's Abishola.
This spot would be the perfect place
no,
to...
No, you have no idea what marrying a Nigerian woman entails. The process will be very stressful.
Because I'm a white guy?
That does not help.
Bob Hart's Abishola, new Monday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
The top of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer, beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. We are 1 minute away from Anthony Herron talking football on The Score.
Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new Unicorn, Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS.
Order! Continue, Ms. Garner.
With the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day.
Objection!
My credit card doesn't earn double miles on every purchase.
I object to your objection. With the Capital One Venture Card, you earn unlimited double miles on every purchase.
Order.
And right now, earn 100,000 bonus miles when you spend $20,000 in your first year.
I'll allow it.
No further questions, Your Honor. Well, just one. What's in your wallet?
Limited time offer. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
I've talked to you about Kyle Fuller in a number of ways. He's better at and specializes in that off-man coverage, but he drives on the route and he anticipates the route. He has a sixth sense for where the receiver's going to end up.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Khalil Mack, he's fast, he's ferocious. When Mack is coming from the backside, then he's a guy who can make a game-changing, game-altering sort of tackle, where if an Anthony Herron is chasing from the backside, all right, you may get tripped up on your ankles, but you're not necessarily as worried about some sort of a strip or takeaway happening.
Co-host of the Score post-game show with Olin Krutz.
I think Matt Nagy knows he needs to win some damn games.
Big Ant Herron with Dan Bernstein on 670 The Score.
Football with Anthony Herron. This segment with him is brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sportsbook. And he joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. He is on Twitter at Big Ant Herron. And you can see his handsome face on Twitch. Twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. Big Ant, how's it going?
Daniel, I'm doing well, my friend. Trying to figure some things out in this football world here.
What are you trying to figure out?
Oh, is there a chance? Is there a sliver of hope for this Bears offense? I feel like we keep getting the same answer on a weekly basis, but I'm trying to divine what the potential is to do a little something more than what they've been capable of to this point. It's a hard question to answer with any positive end.
We get a lot of opinions on these airwaves, yours included, and I have to tell you, Sage Rosenfels broke it down for us on Tuesday, and he painted a very pessimistic picture about how this offense goes about its business. I talked to somebody else throughout the week, another longtime NFL observer, who just said, "I don't get it." And I said, "What don't you get?" He goes, I don't get what the Bears are trying to do offensively. I don't understand it. He said, I would love to sit in a room with Matt Nagy and have him tell me what he's thinking and why he's thinking it when he sees certain things. Because he called some of the sequencing and some of the decision making, in his words, inexplicable.
I think that for what we see from the Bears offense this season, what frustrated me last season with it was that there were things that functioned well for the Bears. There were personnel groupings, there were formations that they had success with on a consistent enough basis that they would go away from. And that's what I found so frustrating last year. This season, I do feel like Matt Nagy is trying a combination of things, and I think there's legitimate evidence that he spent the offseason saying, you know what, how do I get us into positions that suit us? How do I morph what I want to do to more suit the personnel that I have? I don't think he got all the way there, but I think there were enough signs early in the season that at least it made me comfortable and confident that he spent the offseason saying, you know what, it's not just about my system, it's about what these guys can execute. And I think he was trying to do that early in the year. And as the season has moved on, man, there's just been less and less that the Bears can do well. And I feel like the sequencing that you were discussing earlier in the week with some guys, I think that's probably, if not in some minute way, perhaps even drastically affects the sequencing that Nagy calls plays in, because nothing is working for the Bears offense at the moment. They did have some more success running the football last weekend. They at least got a couple of things going, and to see some of that here recently, I'm sure was, you know, at least interpreted as a positive sign, but it's not enough. It's got to be more. It's got to be more, regardless of who your personnel is on the field, even, you know, to a certain extent, because your offensive line is depleted. It's even that much more important to perhaps be stubborn with the ground attack in moments where it doesn't feel like you should, because you're not confident you're going to be able to gain any yards, and then you're just behind the chains on third down, and you're in an enhanced predicament for the potential for a turnover because you drop Nick Foles back, and you don't know where he's going to throw it. You don't think anybody can protect him. And so those things mount on top of each other, and that's what he's trying to avoid by using potentially the pass game to supplement the run game and pick up a few chunk yards or a few smaller yards, just some gains here and there. But when nothing's working, I cannot imagine how difficult it is to be a play caller.
When you say behind the chains, that's only part of it. It's also how this isn't built to really be behind on the scoreboard, that the rhyme or reason with how it fits into the defense and special teams doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And I've always kind of, in some ways, I've pushed back against the idea of what they call complementary football, because I've always said, look, the offense, their job, score as many points as you can, and the defense, prevent as many points from being scored. And I'll make them complement. If we can win every game 100-0, and that is complementary football. So I've always thought that there isn't necessarily, there doesn't have to be a connection. But I'm more open to it because of the way I've heard it discussed recently. And even though, you know, people say, you know, Mike Lombardi is just a sort of a bomb thrower and provocateur and a guy who says stuff. And that being said, I did find it really interesting, and we replayed it yesterday, how he talked about what the West Coast offense was designed to do, and the idea of scripting plays. He said the idea was to get a lead. The idea was to play from a lead to allow the defense to do certain things. He brought up the point, what's the point of paying Robert Quinn to be alongside Khalil Mack and have this absolute kick-ass pass rush when the other team has the lead and they're not passing? when they're running at your guys, they're running at your pass rushers. So to put all that money in, he said it doesn't make all that much sense. Then today, I read what Brad Biggs wrote in the Tribune about how this Bears offense, how little chunks of yards, a couple of first downs here or there can make a difference for their defense. For example, Cordarrelle Patterson takes it out, and the difference from being at the 30 or being at the 18, the difference from starting a drive, depending on what you say about the punt return game, of starting from your own 8 or starting from your own 28, getting a couple of first downs, even if you're going to have to punt from your own 40 instead of your own 19. Mm-hmm. Flip the field. You know, make it that there's hidden yardage in there that the Bears really aren't getting. And that kind of makes sense to me if we're just trying to figure out how to set up the rest of this season in a way that benefits them.
And those notions highlight where the Bears have deficiencies aside from just the offense, because where, you know, Cairo Santos has been really good this year, but early in the season when you're uncertain or maybe you weren't sure, like how deep could we trust him to hit a field goal and those types of things. And so you would see Matt Nagy perhaps going for fourth downs as opposed to a longer field goal, or when Ted Ginn was just allowing the ball to just scurry about the ground and not even attempting to
He created a new NFL position, punt observer. It's not punt returner. He would look at it and say, yes, I can confirm and certify that as an NFL punt. And he would just like make a note on a clipboard.
Exactly. He was like a notary as a punt returner. And he just gave him a stamp back there.
He would confirm.
That ball was punted. All right,
an official governmental punt observer.
Exactly. And so all those things exacerbate the struggles of the Bears offense, because even when they get the ball from the defense in strike territory and in plus, you know, portions of the field, they still struggle or they still give it back to the opponent. And so this is something I've been talking about a lot this year. When you have, whether it's a kicker that you weren't comfortable with, which they are rightfully comfortable with Santos now, but early in the season, if you had a kicker you weren't comfortable with, or if you had where, you know, for a while, the aggression of Cordarrelle Patterson was paying dividends because he would get it beyond the 25, beyond the 30 on a fairly consistent basis. And that aggression in their kick return game was paying off. Not so much here in recent weeks. And then you add to that the Bears punt return game, which at least Tariq Cohen had gotten to a point before his injury where he was fielding the punts, where he wasn't doing silly things, perhaps turning it over, running backwards, a lot of things that we saw him doing last season that it looked like he was growing out of. Then he gets injured. You got to go to Ted Ginn. And now you're losing all those yards there. And when you have an offense that's struggling to the extent that the Bears offense has been, all those things just compound each other to make it a longer day, to make it a more difficult task for Matt Nagy to try and sculpt something. And that's just specific to the Bears offense. Like, all of it is within his purview. Like, the Bears special teams is in his purview. The Bears defense is in his purview. And certainly the Bears offense is in his purview. We discuss it specifically through the lens of the Bears offense, because it is the most obviously frustrating portion of the team. But when your specialists are out there screwing up, that's your fault as a head coach too. So all these things fall at his feet. And so I'm glad they pulled the trigger on Ted Ginn. Yes, you needed to make that move. And so now you have a guy who's daring in the return game, willing to go and make very difficult attempts at fielding punts. And Harris has been excellent at that so far. So you're not losing that yardage there. We know Cordarrelle Patterson is a dude, so I got no issue with his aggression, because when it pays off, whether it's a touchdown or just an additional 15 yards that you wouldn't have had on a touchback, that's marvelous, because the Bears offense needs every one of those yards. Issue is, even when you get a huge day from Cordarrelle Patterson in returns, even when you get Harris back there fielding every punt cleanly, it's still not equaling points for this Bears offense. Even when you're getting takeaways from this Bears defense, then they're giving you the ball in plus territory, nothing is equaling points for the offense. And so it all still comes back to, even when those other things are going well, you still have an offense that can't put it in the end zone. And that is just confounding in the modern NFL.
If Montgomery can't go, how do you handle the run game personnel-wise and scheme-wise? What is best for calling the right plays for the right guys?
I wouldn't have any issue with Ryan Nall getting some touches. I don't think you can necessarily.
That's the most lukewarm statement. I wouldn't have any issue with this guy getting some touches.
Yeah, I mean, you can only ask so much of Cordarrelle Patterson. He's not going to be a 15. He certainly shouldn't be, I don't think, a 15, 20 carry guy in the situations where he's gotten his chances, especially in short yardage where you have to be able to count on a guy. He hasn't proven to be someone you can count on to do that adequately. Pass protection, we haven't seen anything from him. They don't trust him in pass protection, even let him try it that much. There's no reason to think that when you have to have a running back on the field to pass protect a bunch, that he's a guy you can count on to do much of that. So frankly, I don't know that Cordarrelle Patterson's role should or will change that much. I think there's potential that you see a Ryan Nall on the field more frequently. They can't just put him out there to be a pass protector because that's too huge of a key for the defense. So that leads me to Ryan Nall would certainly need to get a few touches just so you can offset having him out there as a pass protector. My evaluation of him in college, while he is sort of a burly built downhill style running back, he wasn't the most physical, like intimidating or imposing runner in the world. He was actually a guy with more speed than you would think looking at him, who turned the corner on dudes at Oregon State. I'm a pretty big fan of Artavis Pierce, so I wouldn't mind at all seeing him getting the ball in an NFL game and just seeing what he could potentially do with it. They've had him on the active roster for a little while. He hasn't gotten his opportunity yet. He's a guy who can get to top gear really quickly, and the type of player that I think for a Bears screen game, especially the RB screen,
wait,
the running back
wait,
screen, right
there in
the middle.
Did you
just
use the words Bears screen game in that order? What?
Should I've begun it with lack of the yeah, lack yeah, of you, bear screen
Bears
game.
Screen game. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's if you go into the recesses of your memory, it's back there somewhere when the Bears had a screen game. It exists, at least in tales of lore. But if there were to be a Bears screen game, Artavis Pierce is the type of player who not only is a dependable receiver as far as just being able to, you know, having soft hands to catch standard running back catches, but also gets to top gear really quickly. So if Artavis Pierce is in the lineup and they wanted to attempt to mount some sort of a screen game for the first consistent time this season, I think he's the type of guy who can do those things for you and maybe even on some straight carry. So I don't think they should look at Cordarrelle Patterson and say, all right, if Monty's not in the game, then you got to be the dude at running back, because he's been in the league long enough. We know that's not him. So one of these other Oregon State running backs, I think we should see if they can maybe be that guy.
We are with Anthony Herron, as we are on Fridays before Bears games, even though the Bears play Monday night. When we come back, let's hear what Matt Nagy himself said about the running back position regarding Montgomery if he can't go. We'll get into that. We'll also talk about the Vikings defense as well. We are talking football, Bears and Vikings, with Anthony Herron. I'm Dan Bernstein, and you have the score.
Bears fans, stay tuned to the score as we continue to get you ready for Bears versus Vikings in a primetime Monday Night Football divisional showdown. Can Matt Nagy put a stop to the three-game skid and turn this thing around? We're talking Bears right up to game time on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans.
This is Damon Amendolara with your Radio.com Sports Minute. Reports of Philip Rivers' death greatly exaggerated. At least last night they were. Coming into Thursday night football, many NFL insiders thought the Colts quarterback was cooked. A 38-year-old arm that threw too many INTs last year and couldn't get it downfield this year. Well, last night at Tennessee, Rivers was really good. His drops were short. His reads were quick. He got the ball out in less than 2.5 seconds most of the night, and the Colts got a W, 34-17 over the Titans to tie for the AFC South lead. The issue is the Colts aren't going to have many nights like last night where they're handed short fields and points by the other squad's special teams. A shanked punt, a blocked punt for a touchdown, a missed field goal gave the Colts three gifts. But Indy will take it, and so will Phillip. He may not be old man Rivers just yet. This is Damon Amendolara.
This hour is brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Right now, the Home Depot is home of smart home gifts for smart home gift givers, like the Google Nest Video Doorbell, the Google Nest Hub, or Google Nest Mini in both charcoal and chalk. Plus, right now, get free two-day shipping on any smart home gift purchases over $45. The top names in smart home at the best name in home improvement. That's smart gift giving. Improved. The Home Depot. How doers get more done. U.S. only. See store for details.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect way to set any holiday vibe at the push of a button. With over 30 cocktails, ciders, brews, and more, just put in the pod and press start. Now through November 9th, use code THANKS at DrinkWorks.com to save 25% off your order. That's 25% off your order with code THANKS. Better than the Black Friday offer. Stay holiday ready with the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Visit DrinkWorks.com today. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. Please enjoy responsibly. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
This weekend, visit JCPenney for TGI Black Friday. Get the same Black Friday prices just earlier on thousands of new deals before they're gone. Score the absolute best savings with this week's extra 30% off coupon. Use it to get select men's St. John's Bay sweaters for 60% off. Or shop now to reserve your fine jewelry to get Black Friday prices up to 80% off before the rush. Joy, comfort, peace. JCPenney. Offers valid 11/13 to 11/15. Conditions and exclusions apply. Pick up reserved fine jewelry on or after 11/20. See store or jcp.com for details.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great rates, we gave this song surprisingly great lyrics.
Great like that. Just gripping 10 and 2, riding down the block. Drive safe and save, my discount is locked, but my rates like that. They're great like that, drive safe like that. I save like that, my claims like that. Got Jake like that, straight up facts, great rates. Straight up facts, great rates.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I have a secret, but you have to promise not to tell anyone.
Then don't tell me.
Me either.
This Monday,
Bob is going to ask me to marry him.
It's the CBS original comedy series, Bob Hart's Abishola.
This spot be the perfect place
no,
to...
No, you have no idea what marrying a Nigerian woman entails. The process will be very stressful.
Because I'm a white guy?
That does not help.
Bob Hart's Abishola, new Monday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new Unicorn, Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS. CBS Monday. Cedric the Entertainer and Max Greenfield star in The Neighborhood.
Did Malcolm say what he did to get arrested?
It was being black in America.
I'm filing a complaint. Where's the suggestion box?
I'm gonna organize a protest.
You're supposed to use your head, Malcolm.
Come on, man.
You gotta fight smart.
I can feel the...
Where's Malcolm?
I thought he's with you.
I'm going back out there.
I'm going with you.
No, I don't need anybody else I love out there. Come on, Dave.
The Neighborhood. Season premiere. This Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.
So, question, how far would you go for a friend? A ride to the airport? Half your sandwich? Donate a body part?
I need a kidney transplant.
I have two kidneys, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need two?
You don't?
Well, then guess who's getting a kidney?
Life is beautiful.
Silicon Valley's Thomas Middleditch and Tony winner Annalie Ashford.
Kidney buddies for life.
Be positive. New Thursday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
Hey, it's Dan Bernstein here. When it comes to home restoration projects, my friends at Aloha Restoration are the best of the best. They are experts at mold remediation, water extraction, fire and smoke restoration, and home remodeling. So when disaster strikes, do what I did. Call the experts at Aloha Restoration. I am speaking from personal experience. They showed up, they took one look, and they said, "Don't worry, we got this." And then there were loud noises, and there were plastic sheeting, and I heard things, and then next thing I know, the sheeting came down, and all of a sudden, my dining room ceiling was back, like nothing had happened. They deal directly with your insurance company also, so you don't have to worry about a thing. Check out AlohaRestores.com for more information. That's AlohaRestores.com. Aloha Restoration. We rain when it pours.
CBS Monday. It's the season premiere of All Rise. LA's newest Superior Court judge is changing the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor.
We're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
The season premiere of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by the season premiere of Bull. CBS Monday at 9, 8 Central.
You're listening to The Dan Bernstein Show. Back in 60 seconds on The Score.
So, question, how far would you go for a friend? A ride to the airport?
half your sandwich? Donate a body part?
I need a kidney transplant.
I have two kidneys, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need two?
You don't?
Well, then guess who's getting a kidney?
Life is beautiful.
Silicon Valley's Thomas Middleditch and Tony winner Annalie Ashford.
Kidney buddies for life.
Be positive. New Thursday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
CBS Monday. Cedric the Entertainer and Max Greenfield star in The Neighborhood.
Did Malcolm say what he did to get arrested?
He was being black in America.
I'm filing a complaint. Where's the suggestion box?
I'm gonna organize a protest.
You're supposed to use your head, Malcolm.
Come on, man.
You gotta fight smart.
I can feel the...
Where's Malcolm?
I thought he's with you.
I'm going back out there.
I'm going with you.
No, I don't need anybody else I love out there. Come on, Dave.
The Neighborhood. Season premiere this Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Between Ryan Nall, Lamar Miller, you know, and Pierce, they come to work every day, and they give us a great look with the look team. And so now here's a situation where with David possibly being out and being in the concussion protocol, we'll see. You know, I think that we rely on our coaches. They're all a little bit different. You know, you have one guy that has experience in Lamar Miller, that's seen a lot of different defenses and has been in a lot of different NFL games and been to the Pro Bowl. You have another who's a rookie, and then you have another guy who's worked hard as a free agent to get to this point and is only growing more and more each week. So it's kind of, for us, a situation where we just rely on each other as coaches to figure out what's best for our offense.
All right, well, there's not a whole lot of information there, but also, when did the scout team become the look team? I get it. I know it's just, you know, like when you play, they always called it the scout team. Is this a new NFL thing? Anthony Heron, by the way, is with us on Sports Radio 670 The Score. He's on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Is this new, the whole look team?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily that new. It's probably, I guess, being used a little more in public segments than what it may have been in the past. But yeah, scout team, practice squad, look team, look squad. It's all just sort of different versions of the same parlance.
What are the Bears looking at when they see that purple defense in front of them? Where can they attack it? Because it would look like, despite Mike Zimmer's reputation, that they're going to have some opportunities against them.
It seems that way. And that's part of what, you know, I suppose ends up being a bit frustrating just in even evaluating the Bears offense, because when it does seem like, you know what, there might be an advantageous matchup here, and then for whatever reason that advantageous matchup is not attacked or seemingly even capable of being attacked by the Bears. But overall, I mean, like I like the Vikings linebackers. I'm certainly you know, pretty fond of Hendricks, who's there in the middle form, or Kendricks. I mean, I think he's a guy who, when he came out of college, folks weren't completely certain if he was going to be athletic enough to sort of roam sideline to sideline. Like, Roquan Smith is obviously speedy enough to do whatever you need a modern linebacker to do. Folks weren't completely clear about that with Kendricks, and he went and tested well enough, and now he's turned into a quality linebacker in the NFL. But I at least like the potential for the Bears to run what we've seen some of the teams run against them. Like, when you watch the Vikings, they have been able to be exposed and be creased by sort of being outflanked in certain gaps on that stretch zone play, on the outside zone run. Problem is, depends on who you're running it with. Like, for Cordero Patterson, that's not necessarily his specialty, where you're handing him the ball and he's got that running back vision on the way downhill towards the hole. He seems to have been more effective on straight toss plays, where you immediately get him the ball and then he can focus on where the crease is, or you immediately hand it to him downhill and then he can advance on the defense. So then that goes to the discussion of, all right, who will be the Bears running back to run those plays for you? If Lamar Miller ends up being a player who they deem as healthy enough, as far enough along, he's the Bears' best option to the question you were asking me earlier.
Yeah, that tells me he's not healthy, right? Because if he were, that's an easy answer. That's an accomplished pro, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's done things that no one else at the running back position in that room has done in the league, and so they've been easing him along this season. If he has to sort of be thrust or forced into action, it really depends on it, because he gets enough work on the practice field where if there was a concern for injury, then that would have been, I guess, figured out. So the fact that he's not limited from a practice perspective, he's out there getting all the work in, it may just mean he's not quite all the way back to being the most explosive version of himself that he would have been a few years ago prior to dealing with any injuries. But I think that if they feel like they can get through a game with him as a competent option, then maybe he's the guy who you just pull him up to the active roster and just make sure you at least have that option going into the game, because there's not anyone else who you would say, you know, you wouldn't say it with Cordero Patterson, you wouldn't say it with Ryan Nall, Artavis Pierce hasn't been a piece of anything yet that you can look at and say, all right, this is an individual who's played running back in the National Football League and been able to sustain a full game at that position. So I think Lamar Miller, if they feel he's obviously healthy enough to be able to do it, then it wouldn't surprise me if they end up pulling him up, because Ryan Nall's been on the squad for years and they haven't really given him any run yet. And Artavis Pierce, like I said in the last segment, he's a guy that I like. We'll see how much the Bears like him. Like, I think he's the type of guy that if he would have gotten in preseason games with that opportunity, that other teams around the league would have gotten really excited about. So I hope we see an opportunity for Artavis Pierce. But if we don't, it'll be because the Bears say, here's a veteran and our starter's down, and we just need to feel comfortable that somebody is actually going to be out there. If they have to withstand the brunt of kind of a full NFL game back there, that we got someone who's done it before.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Golf Mill Ford, Illinois' largest Ford dealer. Beats every deal by at least $500. GolfMillFord.com. The Bears are overdue for like a weird running back day, because they've had their share, and it happens in this league.
So we're down to, right? We're counting on that.
You know, but seriously, like, we remember the time Brock Forcey ran for over 100 yards against the Arizona Cardinals, right? Remember, yeah. James Allen having a day. Who was it? Was it Khalil Bell? Does that ring a bell?
Mm.
Khalil Bell broke a long run in a night game against against Philadelphia. That might have been the Brian Greasy comeback game, now that I think about it. I'm not sure. I could be mixing my nighttime games here. But this is I like that. Other teams all the time. Other teams find guys. Other teams find star running backs who they just had on their roster. And that's a position where you just give a guy a ball and let him go until he falls down. They're due for that.
And the problem is, we'll see where all the different health concerns with the offensive line end up shaking out between now and game time. But sort of regardless of who the running back is, like, none of these guys we're talking about are better than David Montgomery at the moment. And a lot of people around town don't think David Montgomery's any good because he's not gaining yards. I legitimately think he is a talented and durable running back who just has nowhere to go when he gets the ball. His rookie year, I did take a little bit of issue with his running style because he would grab it, and as he was handed the ball, he'd sort of hesitate in the backfield, look around. Like, he would find people to elude or find cuts to make off of guys or people to bounce off of. He's sort of gotten out of that habit and looks to more immediately hit the hole, which I think has proven to be more effective for him at times. There's just no hole to hit right now. There's nothing but smoke. Like, the term I like to use is run through the smoke, when you're going to be patient enough to continue downhill towards a hole that isn't initially there, but then appears as you're, like, right at that moment where you're starting to get your body through it. There's just no hole there. There is nothing but smoke as he gets the ball. So if he's not gaining yards behind that O-line, I'm not sure who else would, aside from the notion that the Vikings and their run defense can at times with certain plays be exploited. And I do think, like I said, they got a couple of guys. If Lamar Miller is anywhere near that top gear he used to have, he's a guy who can exploit those for big plays. I do think Artavis Pierce, because he is sort of he's a one cut. Honestly, his running style, the style of Artavis Pierce, he's not Dalvin Cook, but just as far as being a guy who's not the biggest back, but runs with sort of a one cut slasher downhill sort of approach, Artavis Pierce has some of that to him. And I think that there's potential for, as quickly as he gets to top gear, where if there's a crease, he can make a defense pay for it. So there's some potential there. It's going to be up to who they can trust to try and do it, and if anybody blocks it up.
So if that's the case, if you're describing Pierce, that sounds to me like outside zone blocking rather than inside zone blocking.
Right.
That you're talking more Shanahan Gibbs belly stretch, wait, hit it.
Yeah.
And I don't know that I trust this offensive line to get that done, because when I picture it in my head and I sort of overlay the Bears filter over it, I picture just a lot of purple getting upfield and having him make up his mind for him.
Yeah, that's the problem, where you have a lot of the offensive line bodies moving backwards on that play.
That's what I'm picturing.
You don't want them moving backwards. You at least want a stalemate, if not advancing on the defense, but you don't necessarily need to advance on the defense. Like, when the Bears faced the Rams a couple of weeks back, and I was detailing what the issues were in the Bears stopping the Rams' stretch play, their outside zone play. It was essentially because the Bears were either getting stalemated, or at times you would see Barkevious Mingo or Robert Quinn or James Vaughters getting knocked back, especially James Vaughters getting knocked back at the point of attack. But really all you need is a stalemate because you're just essentially trusting the running back as he's advancing towards the line of scrimmage. You're trusting him to see a crease that's there as that entire offensive front works laterally in unison. What you don't want is penetration. You don't want to be in a position where the running back is forced to belly. And David Montgomery too frequently this season is forced to belly, meaning sort of rounding the arc of his advancement and kind of working backwards before he gets downhill again. You want that advancement to be as systematic, as consistent as it can be while he's getting the football. And there's too much penetration. There's no force being brought towards the point of attack by the Bears offensive line. So it doesn't give the running back a chance to really advance on the defense. That's what I think made the Bears really effective against Derrick Henry last week, like we were talking mm-hmm. about, where he's not a guy who necessarily imposes his will or brings that real force upon impact to tacklers. It's about as he builds momentum towards the line of scrimmage, and the Bears run defense did a really effective job of not allowing that advancement. They did knock it back at the point of attack because they were able to commit to the
get him in between first and second gear. Because if he gets to third gear, you're in trouble. You have to get him right around that gear shift to second and make sure somebody secures and everybody else rallies.
Mm-hmm. And I think that for what the Bears have the potential to do, it can at least set up more play action opportunities. And this is where it comes to Nick Foles, where I think it seems like when he does get into that the positive ends of being streaky, where his mechanics are more sound, his base is more secure, and even if he's not comfortable and confident in the offensive line in front of him, he says, all right, if I got to get the ball out of my hand fast, I'm hitting my back foot and driving into the throw where he is more accurate in those sets. I don't know why someone of his experience who's been in the league this long would consistently need this reminder, but I need Dave Ragone, I need Laser, I need Nagy, I need somebody to get in Nick Foles' ear during the game. And even just that specific and subtle reminder of trust your mechanics. Remember your mechanics. When you hit that third step, when you hit that fifth step, drive into the throw. It won't always be possible, but for him, it does seem like Nick Foles' process gets sped up too frequently in games where it doesn't need to be. And so when the Bears are trying to go some play action and he does the proper mesh point mechanics more often than not.
You know, his mechanics aren't great. I have to say that the really good quarterbacks fool me. The really good quarterbacks with sleight of hand, either is sometimes it's the camera operator and sometimes it's like, wait, okay, who's got the ball? Like I over these many years, I've got a pretty good sense of when somebody has got that sleight of hand. Foles is not real smooth at some of that stuff.
You know where it shows most is when the Bears try to run some boot action with him. And the main reason why is because he's fairly slow. And so you don't see him outflanking the defense. And so what he starts to do in game, because he knows as soon as he makes that fake, like the fake on the zone play, like he's faking the stretch to one side before he does the boot action out, once he turns and gets his eyes around to the defense, there's a defender there in his face, and he's not fast enough to outflank them towards the edge. So if that defender on the edge isn't even honoring the zone that may be going that fake to one direction,
then there's no boot, right?
There's no boot.
They've completely obviated the boot.
And so Foles, he really just sort of narrowly extends his hand toward the running back. So not only are you not faking that edge defender who's there to honor you as the quarterback, you're not faking the second or the third level either. And so that's the problem that you end up having mechanically. When you sort of short arm that stretch zone fake and you don't really take your path and make it look realistic, it's not only that edge defender who's more immediately advancing on you, the rest of the defense isn't buying that you're going to hand it to the running back. So that is the type of mechanic. The pocket mechanics, he needs reminders on those, but even that specific mechanic on run fakes needs to be carried out more effectively because it can make his life easier on the boot. And if he gets busted in the chops, then okay, you get busted in the chops, you take a sack, but there's normally a safety valve available where he can at least just throw a worm burner out there if you really feel like the defender's going to be in your face. But his process is just so quick, and you can see him playing in a helter-skelter way, you know, too frequently in game. When he looks comfortable, he obviously plays much better. He just doesn't look comfortable on the field too frequently.
There's a really good question that was just posted in the Twitch chat here, and I hadn't quite thought of it this way. And the question is it possible the offensive line is in between when to go forward and when to pass protect because of an RPO call? And I hadn't really, I'd love to maybe tell you, this is a great question for Olin perhaps, but if you don't know as a blocker, if it's run or pass, how does that change your mentality in that situation?
Well, not every one of those plays with a zone read look is a true RPO, but it's a valid question. And that's where we've seen the Bears go to more shotgun and more of the RPOs with Nick Foles. For the O-line, their charge is really going to be the same regardless. Now, does it take a little bit of the starch or the punch out of your charge if you're thinking, all right, maybe this ends up as a pass? A little bit, but the ball should be gone quickly. And in a lot of moments, the ball is actually gone behind the line of scrimmage where it's not going to be something that's a penalty for the O-line either. So your charge is going to be the same. It's going to be essentially the same whether it's run or pass on the RPO. One of the issues is because the R in that RPO, mm-hmm. the run portion of that is so ineffective that you will still see defenders be as aggressive as they want to be because they're not really biting on the run. They're not really honoring the run as much. They don't have to because it's getting taken care of by the front four. So the linebackers can flow fast. The secondary can be in a position to make a tackle, whether they're running the alley through the A-gap or whether they're going up to support on some of these tunnel screens or now routes or bubble screens that the Bears might try to run towards the outside. So it can make an O-line maybe a little bit more apprehensive, but overall, really the charge, the footwork, the steps, the temperament is essentially the same regardless of which play gets run. That's really the way it's built to sort of take that apprehension away from the offensive line. It's really the skill position players who are doing different things depending on what the quarterback decides to execute.
We have one more segment with Anthony Herron, and let's talk about something on the Bears that's actually good next. Their defense and what they have to do to stop an MVP candidate. That's coming up straight ahead. We're talking Bears on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's number one and most listened to sports morning show, period.
Olin Krutz joining us. The offensive line wasn't great to begin with.
Right now, when I look at this offense, the receivers are the strength of their team. How can we get points out of these guys, this group of guys? What is moving the ball? What isn't moving the ball? And of course, we have to stop making these mistakes.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's Sports Station.
This segment is brought to you by Merrill Guided Investing.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect way to set any holiday vibe at the push of a button. With over 30 cocktails, ciders, brews, and more, just put in the pod and press start. Now through November 9th, use code THANKS at DrinkWorks.com to save 25% off your order. That's 25% off your order with code THANKS. Better than the Black Friday offer. Stay holiday ready with the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Visit DrinkWorks.com today. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. Please enjoy responsibly. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
CBS Monday. It's the season premiere of All Rise. LA's newest Superior Court judge is changing the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor.
We're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
The season premiere of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by the season premiere of Bull. CBS Monday at 9, 8 Central.
I love Cameron Hughes wine. It's great wine at a fraction of the price, and I have been enjoying it for years. And when I have a great opportunity for you, I always let you know. And this is one. Right now, you can be drinking luxury wines at affordable prices, and you can get 20% off and free shipping when you buy three or more bottles when you enter the code SCORE at checkout. And I mentioned that Cameron has relationships with great wineries all around the world. And usually I tell you about, you know, an Oregon or a Willamette Valley Pinot or a Napa or Sonoma Cabernet, but it really is around the world. And here's an example of that. And this price is absolutely going to blow your mind. The Lot 742 2019 Languedoc Red Blend, a classically French red wine dominated by terroir. And you taste where this wine came from. It is a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon and Petit Verdot. And it's magnificent, punches way beyond its price point. You're talking about these aromatic undertones, and you get blackberry and cassis, earth and dried herbs with these firm tannins that are just classically French. The lot 742 is only $13 a bottle right now. $13. It is crazy how inexpensive this wonderful wine is that you're going to enjoy, and your guests, your family, whoever will, if you want to give it as a gift, it's one they'll like as well. So what you're going to do is you're going to go to chwine.com and make sure that you type in the code SCORE. You're going to get 20% off and free shipping on three or more bottles. Get a case. Free shipping on a case. You don't get that. That's saving you a ton of money. So it's a great opportunity right now. Go to chwine.com, and if you want 20% off and free shipping on three bottles or more, make sure you enter the code SCORE.
This weekend, visit JCPenney for TGI Black Friday. Get the same Black Friday prices just earlier on thousands of new deals before they're gone. Score the absolute best savings with this week's extra 30% off coupon. Use it to get select men's St. John's Bay sweaters for 60% off. Or shop now to reserve your fine jewelry to get Black Friday prices up to 80% off before the rush. Joy, comfort, peace. JCPenney. Offers valid 11/13 to 11/15. Conditions and exclusions apply. Pick up reserve fine jewelry on or after 11/20. See store or jcp.com for details.
To celebrate State Farm's surprisingly great rates, we gave this song surprisingly great lyrics.
State Farm, prices made just for you. That's what I said now. Prices, prices that surprise you. Just go ahead now. Keep that money in your pockets. And that's on bread now. Save up, maybe one day buy a rocket. Just get a quote now.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I have his secrets, but you have to promise not to tell anyone.
Then don't tell me.
Me either.
This Monday,
Bob is going to ask me to marry him.
It's the CBS original comedy series, Bob Hart's Abishola.
This spot would be the perfect place
no,
to...
No, you have no idea what marrying a Nigerian woman entails. The process will be very stressful.
Because I'm a white guy?
That does not help.
Bob Hart's Abishola, new Monday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
Dan Bernstein will be back in 60 seconds on 670 The Score.
Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new unicorn, Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS.
So question, how far would you go for a friend? A ride to the airport? Half your sandwich? Donate a body part?
I need a kidney transplant.
I have two kidneys, right?
Yeah.
Why do I need two?
You don't?
Well, then guess who's getting a kidney?
Life is beautiful.
Silicon Valley's Thomas Middleditch and Tony winner Annalie Ashford.
Kidney buddies for life.
Be positive. New Thursday, 8:30, 7:30 Central on CBS.
Responsibly. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, same one. Just, you know, these great running backs and offensive, you know, systems keep showing up week after week, but really proud of our guys, you know, rose up to the challenge a week ago and did a nice job against, you know, Derrick Henry. And we're going to have to do a lot of the same. It's going to take all 11. This special back. That we're playing, and you know, front side, back side, interior, all that stuff. Everybody is going to take all 11, all three levels, playing at their very best to stop this guy and contain this guy. You don't stop him; we just got to contain him.
That is Chuck Pagano talking about this week's defensive challenge, and that is Dalvin Cook, front side, back side. I think I worry backside on this defense more than I do front side, but that's just me. They don't give you a whole lot to worry about, but Anthony Heron will tell us what he thinks because he is with us on Sports Radio 670 as he is on Fridays for the 10 o'clock hour. He's on Twitch at twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. What does Dalvin Cook want to do? How do they block it up? And how are the Bears going to stay assignment sound and with gap integrity?
Dalvin Cook is kind of an interesting combination of of Derrick Henry and Alvin Kamara, where, you know, he's got more power. He brings more funk on impact than Alvin Kamara does, but he's certainly got more wiggle to him and far more pass receiving skills than Derrick Henry does. And so he's kind of this amalgam of the two. And as he gets into the hole, he can make you miss there in tight spaces, but he doesn't need to. I think the closest comp is maybe a Zeke Elliott type. Probably a little more wiggle than Zeke, a little less pop or power on impact than Zeke, but he will run through contact. He's a guy who he's got a great ability to see the hole, to trust the hole, and then his body reacts. It can react at a moment's notice to just sort of brush off contact, not completely eluding contact, but just making his impact surface small enough to be able to not have kind of that the full width of what a tackler is looking for when he's trying to impact or drive through a tackle. He's a really, really skilled runner in a lot of different ways. So for the Bears to try and contain that, I think there are things about the way that Chuck Pagano schemes the game that can work directly towards that, because he's not a guy who loves to do a bunch of gadgetry and moving parts around until the situation indicates that you can, that it's worthy of taking that risk. If he's got the offense behind the chains, if you are on third and long and he knows a Dalvin Cook may not be a big part of the playbook. So usually there is a Bears defender in a position pre-snap that the offense doesn't easily indicate here's the hole in the defense. You usually have five, you know, down up front, or at least four down up front. You have linebackers who are there mining the gaps they're supposed to mine. It's just about not getting outflanked or outgapped when it's there after the ball gets snapped and you have a running back who has the vision of a Dalvin Cook. So I like Chuck Pagano's scheme against this Vikings rushing attack. Issue is, like the Saints were able to do with Alvin Kamara, where sometimes, all right, you know what? We don't really trust the way we're able to run the ball right now. We're just going to feature this guy as a pass receiver a few times. And you saw the Saints doing that with Kamara, where they said, all right, whoever Alvin Kamara is one-on-one against, we think he's got the advantage anyway, whether it was a linebacker, whether it was a DB, whether it was a defensive end or outside linebacker on a zone dog at times. Kamara's got an advantage on all of them, so we're going to do that. The Vikings can do some of that with Dalvin Cook. So even though the Bears' run defense has been porous this season, I'm actually more concerned with huge plays, with chunk plays, with Dalvin Cook out of the backfield than I am with them just turning around and handing the ball to him.
It would be my hope that somehow the takeaways would regress to the mean. Yet I know that we can say that you can have some influence on takeaways, yet a lot of it, frankly, is just luck. And maybe they've been unlucky. Maybe the ball hasn't bounced their way. Maybe, you know, there's a, you know, Khalil Mack or Robert Quinn has been in, you know, an inch away from knocking the ball out for a strip sack, and it just hasn't been there. We've seen them come so close. When you talk about the risk calculus and whether or not you're going to bring an extra guy here or there, at some point, this offense needs the defense to take the ball away. And I just don't know how much harder you can try to do that.
Because the Vikings are skilled at receiver, then I think it's probably less likely that we'll see Chuck Pagano get overly aggressive, more aggressive than what we may have seen in a lot of games. Like what they did against the Titans last week, we saw some really unique fronts once they got to third down. Some of that was, you know, sort of having guys like Barkevious Mingo in a spy position to make sure Ryan Tannehill wasn't going to get out, start running around. But you saw a number of different kind of false fronts, whether it was having Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan in that mug look, or having one or both of them out on the edge at different points. They even did at the start of the second quarter something I loved that they haven't done a lot of, but I hope they start to do it more, where they literally had the rest of the front seven was all lined up to one side, and there was just Khalil Mack over by himself with three blockers potentially able to account for him. And then when the ball was snapped, they ran a follow stunt where it was Bilal Nichols went from a zero technique, went to the left side, one gap, or the A gap, to the side of Khalil Mack. So you had two rushes over there, and then you had Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan rush to the same opposite side A gap. And Roquan made a great move on the running back, ends up getting a sack. But that alignment pre-snap is what actually made that happen, because he dictated the advantage based off the defensive alignment, as opposed to just saying everybody's got a guy and you know you can beat your guy and they know who they're going to block. So I wouldn't mind seeing a little more of that, but you can run a risk when you start to get a little more exotic of saying that Jefferson or Thielen may be able to kind of take advantage of some coverage opportunities.
Yeah, Jefferson's come a long way in a hurry. That's a real NFL receiver, and he just all of a sudden decided, yeah, I might be a rookie, but watch this.
He is so good, and we see so many receivers come out of LSU who seem blessed physically, you know, but their tools didn't really get to be displayed at the collegiate level. His certainly did with Joe Burrow as his quarterback. And, you know, for him, he beats man coverage really effectively, and the Bears are going to show some man. Wouldn't surprise me at all if we see a little more zone from the Bears this week to see if, even though, you know, Kirk Cousins, in theory, will read zone effectively and try to get it out in rhythm and on time. So it's a little different than some other quarterback who you're saying you may want to throw off the timing of the passing route by perhaps being up in a press position. Bears are still going to play plenty of man, but I think this may be another one of those games where you see some more zone concepts because of two reasons. One, Jefferson, very effective against man and potential strike plays there, but then also Dalvin Cook out of the backfield where you, with the second and third level of your defense, can have eyes into the backfield so you don't have a bunch of guys turning and running down the field, and then Dalvin Cook is able to outflank a Danny Trevathan and go for chunk yardage there. So I think this is one of those weeks, like I talked about going into the Carolina game, and it played out that way, where maybe this is a week where the percentage man versus zone concepts maybe teeters more towards the zone than Chuck Pagano may always do because of what the Vikings offense likes to do, not just what they're most comfortable with, but where they can be most deadly for chunk plays.
Anthony Heron, thank you, as always. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too, Dan. Appreciate you, man.
That is Anthony Heron. Follow him on Twitter at Big Ant Heron, and you can hear him on the Bears post-game show on most weeks when he sits with Olin Krutz after the post-game show ends. When we come back, Matt Miller will join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Bears and these college football games this weekend, who is catching his scouting eye as well. After that, Cody Decker on baseball, not only on the White Sox, on Abreu's MVP, on their new pitching coach, a major story in baseball today as the Miami Marlins have named Kim Ng as their general manager. She's the first woman to be a general manager of a major professional sports team, at least in this country, and it's cool news. She was a longtime White Sox front office executive, very highly respected, interviewed at one point for the Dodgers job and didn't get that job, but Kim Ng is the GM of the Miami Marlins. So we'll talk about that and other things with Cody Decker. That's at 11:20, but Matt Miller is next on The Score.
Bulls fans, coming up next Wednesday from 6 to 10, it's the Scores NBA Draft Show with me, Chuck Swirsky. Top side, three ball. Joined by my main man, Bulls radio broadcast partner, Bill Weddington.
That's the way you finish, up high and hard.
With the fourth overall pick in the draft, do the Bulls have a shot at future NBA greatness? We'll bring that pick to you live and cover the entire NBA draft. The Scores NBA Draft Show, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's official radio home for Bulls basketball, a radio.com sports station.
Brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program and by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, Chicago's hometown sports. Book.
Hey, it's Jay Zawoski. Add a little excitement to your sports watching experience by betting all the action on FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook this football season. Look, there's a good reason why FanDuel Paradise is America's number one sportsbook. Their app is very easy to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays, those are my favorite, and exclusive always on promotions so you get more action out of every game day. Best part is, if you win, they get you your winnings safely in as little as 24 hours. And listen up to this great deal. Right now, FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Just place a bet on any game, and FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook will refund you up to $1,000 back if you don't win your first bet. There's no strings attached. Just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in site credit. You won't want to suffer through a Bears loss? Well, bet on the Vikings. If the Vikings win, you win some money so it doesn't hurt as bad. Look, if you've never tried FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, what are you waiting for? The mobile sports betting registration period is still here. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started and be sure to sign up with promo code J, that's J-A-Y, so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Paradise Sportsbook, promo code J. Must be 21 plus and present in Illinois or Indiana. First online real money wager only. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
The DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig is the perfect way to set any holiday vibe at the push of a button. With over 30 cocktails, ciders, brews, and more, just put in the pod and press start. Now through November 9th, use code THANKS at DrinkWorks.com to save 25% off your order. That's 25% off your order with code THANKS. Better than the Black Friday offer. Stay holiday ready with the DrinkWorks Home Bar by Keurig. Visit DrinkWorks.com today. Keurig is a registered trademark of Keurig Green Mountain Inc. Use under license. Please enjoy responsibly. DrinkWorks. Please enjoy responsibly.
CBS Monday. Cedric the Entertainer and Max Greenfield star in The Neighborhood.
Did Malcolm say what he did to get arrested?
It was being black in America.
I'm filing a complaint. Where's the suggestion box?
I'm gonna organize a protest.
You're supposed to use your head, Malcolm.
Come on, man.
You gotta fight smart.
I can feel the world.
Where's Malcolm?
I thought he's with you.
I'm going back out there.
I'm going with you.
No, I don't need anybody else I love out there. Come on, Dave.
The Neighborhood. Season premiere this Monday, 8, 7 Central on CBS.
This weekend, visit JCPenney for TGI Black Friday. Get the same Black Friday prices, just earlier, on thousands of new deals.